Jesus, you are a good Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father, and you will not fail us, God. You will not let us down.
You will not abandon us. You will not manipulate us. Lord, you're a perfect Father. A giving Father and a loving Father. Lord, I thank you that you are here today to bless your children. I pray, Lord, that every word that I speak would be of you and not of me. Glorify your name in this place, O God, I pray. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our study on the tabernacle this morning. Seems like a long path to get here. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. I know this tabernacle is not in Genesis chapter 2, but it is. As I prepared, we've been preparing, and I thought we were ready to just launch into the tabernacle itself and the structure. And I was all prepared to sit down on my computer yesterday to do the slides and all the stuff, and God had a different plan. Again. Which is perfect with me, because that's God's plan. That's all I want. But just when I love it when I go all week long thinking, this is what I'm gonna do, this is what I'm gonna do, and I get to Friday or Saturday, and God says, detour. And I sit back and wonder, did I just not hear you at the beginning of the week? This is where I find he has a sense of humor, and he likes to just stretch me right out there. So, I started looking at the structure, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, and how the structure is made, and the walls, and the materials that are used, and the message that is there. But God started off yesterday morning and took me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord reminded me that this isn't just a study about a building that was set up in the desert. It's not just a building, and we're not studying this to learn more about this fascinating building and how it stayed up out in the desert and how they moved it around and all the things, but to capture the message that is there, because it's types and shadows. There's a message that's in the building. And in this verse, God reminded me that it's living. The tabernacle, when you get to the tabernacle through the outer court, and when you reach the tabernacle itself, we're now the tabernacle, and the outer court represents the body. The holy place represents the soul. The holy of holies is the spirit. And God reminded me that that's a living soul that we're studying. That it's not just about the building, but the message that there is one of life. And it's living. It isn't, you can't just take one part of this and teach it. I got to the anointing of Aaron right before he enters into the holy place. He stands there at the laver, and he's been stripped, and he's been washed, and the priestly garments are on him, and the anointing oil is poured upon him. And I was so looking forward to teaching the anointing, and all of a sudden it was like I hit a brick wall and went, what's this all about, God? Why is this? And from the anointing on, what God has been showing me is it all functions together, and you can't just take one section of it and teach it. We can teach about the brazen altar. We can teach about the laver and the things that happened there. But from there forth, everything functions together. Everything works together. From the anointing to every part of the tabernacle and what it's made out of the furnishings that are in it, everything begins to have life. It's living. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. My body breathes, but I wouldn't say that it's my soul. So this isn't talking about just breathing the breath of life into us, and that was the air, and he just filled our lungs full of air and we became a living body. My soul doesn't breathe, my physical body breathes. But this is saying that he breathed the breath of life into me and it became a living soul. That's a little different. The breath of life, when he breathed into us, it's that breathing out. And I don't know about you, anybody that's a dad in here, wow. I think about the day or the night that Katie was born, my daughter, and I saw that night something that just, I'll never forget it. Katie is born and they turned her around and laid her up on Steph. And anybody that's ever been there, there's that kind of that stall that seems like forever. And I'm waiting for something to happen. And I'll never forget, there was just enough stall that it just became so powerful to me. And I heard her go, and she cried. But when I heard that sound, all of a sudden it just resounded within me, the breath of God. And he breathed the breath of life into her. And it just quivered. And she had lungs, man, and she just let it go. Oh, the joy the Father must have had when he breathed the breath of life into Adam. Here's the creation that he hand formed. That word formed, and the Lord God formed man. This is a different word than it uses in chapter 1 when it says that he created. When he says, let us create man in our image. This word formed is that of a potter. It is that hand made. That's the word that it's using. Hand formed. Unique. Every single one of us. None of us are exactly alike. God began to reveal to me, I started doing word studies and I don't have it all. I'm just going to share I'm not going to walk you through the word study, but I'm going to share where God took me. I ended up in Isaiah 42, and I don't know how I got there. Other than the Spirit of God, if you want to turn there with me. This verse just leaped off the page. Verse 5, Isaiah 42, verse 5 says, thus saith God the Lord. Now remember, thus saith God. Here it comes. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. And I went, what? He that giveth breath unto the people on it and spirit to them that walk therein. I looked up that word spirit. The word breath is the same one in Genesis chapter 2 that we read. He breathed the breath of life into them. And spirit to them that walk therein. I started thinking about it. Breathe the breath of life. What's the difference between something that's living and something that's dead? And there's going to be, I got to have a scientist in the room, so I'm going to be careful. And I try to narrow it down and make this really simple. Okay? Something that the difference between living and dead is their systems there, what would you call it? Vital processes. Okay? I'm alive because there are systems within my body that are working together. Okay? I can't live. You take one of those systems away and I don't have life in me anymore. But what living is the relationship between the two systems that function. Okay? I would say, you know, there's a rock there, and I would say the rock has no life in it. Actually, you look in a microscope, yes, there is life there. There's atoms and neutrons and all that stuff, and I won't get too particular because there's a scientist in the room. And I don't want to sound silly. But to make it nice and simple, so that we all understand it, I started realizing that what makes it living is that there's things working together there. There are vital processes that are going on. It's living. You look at the human body. I have the heart, the circulatory system, my heart, the blood, and all of the vessels and the arteries and everything. And then I have the respiratory system. The heart and the blood and all the things are useless without the lungs. They're useless. It says the life is in the blood. Okay? I'm trying to square this away in my mind and how to present this. Scripture says that the life is in the blood. Okay? The breath of life, when you look at Romans 1, says that creation reveals God's power and His divine qualities. It reveals everything about Him. There's no denying there's a God if we'll look at creation. Right? It reveals. So you look at the heart. The heart pumps. The first thing it does is it pumps blood to the lungs. It oxygenates the blood. The heart pumps it back to the heart, which feeds the heart muscle, and then pumps it to the rest of the body. Picks up the carbon dioxide. I said that right, right? Not carbon monoxide, it's carbon dioxide. Picks up the carbon dioxide or the used stuff, puts it in the blood. There's an exchange that takes place there. It feeds the muscles, returns the bad stuff back up, goes back to the lungs, and the whole process continues. The life is in the blood. The blood is the avenue where the breath or the oxygen goes from out here to the rest of my body. It's the vehicle. I started thinking about this. The whole thing, creation, is just running through my mind. What's the vehicle? How does this all happen? The vehicle in us that gets the life to the muscles that feeds everything is the blood. The life is in the blood. Okay? The two systems are functioning together. There's a relationship that takes place there. The tabernacle is no different. But the breath of life of God is the Word of God. I started looking at Genesis chapter 1, and it says, let us create man in our image. And he goes on, and then the blessing comes, and he speaks a blessing into man. The Word of God is what gives me life. It's the life to my soul. When God speaks, the breath of God or the Spirit of God, the vehicle between the spirit and my soul is the Word of God being spoken to me. Is this making sense? Following me? Because I'm kind of wrestling with this a little bit right now. Had it all in my head this morning. Preached it down here this morning at about 5:00. The Word of God is the vehicle. It speaks. There's the connection between the spirit and the soul. And it's the same way the other way. The connection between my soul and the spiritual realm is my voice and me speaking. Okay? We got to learn how to start letting it flow. But I looked up this word. It says that He gives life. Isaiah 42:5 says, He that giveth breath unto the people on it, and spirit to them that walk therein. That word spirit, when you go to the root, it means to smell. Can you smell breathing out? Sometimes? Wow. Can you smell anything breathing out? So you look at that word smell and it's like, smell? It gives the root of that whole thing being smell. Really, you got to look at what's taking place. He breathes and it gives spirit to those that walk therein. If I walk in the Word of God, it gives spirit in the sense that when I take it in, the life that's in the tabernacle, and what I feel like God wants me to share here this morning, it's a very intimate thing. There's a fellowship that takes place. There's two systems that are working together. You have the soul and the spirit. You have the holy place and the holy of holies. It's the word of God coming forth from it, the breath of God that comes from it, His giving, and our receiving. And when I will breathe out and speak to Him, He takes it in and it serves God. And there's a function. There's two systems working together there. And therein is the life. When Adam sinned, it cut off that communication. And his soul went on in perpetual death. There was no life because the things of the Spirit weren't getting into his soul. But through Jesus Christ, the way has been made that we can enter back into that life, back into that fellowship. And as we head into the tabernacle and the message of the tabernacle, you got to recognize it's living. And it takes us breathing in the breath of God and receiving it in the soul. And it takes me speaking back to Him and communicating with Him, and He'll receive what I say. It becomes that place where I will express to Him my mind, will, and emotions, no matter what they are, knowing that I approach a throne of grace, not a seat of mercy, knowing by faith in Jesus Christ that I am cleansed, trusting in the work that just took place in the outer court. I step into the place of the soul, and the way has been made that I can step into the life and receive from the Father, and He will receive from me. It comes a place of life because now there are two systems that are working together, the Spirit and the soul. It's the place, the tabernacle is the place where the Spirit of God meets the soul of man. And we take it for granted. We fail to miss the message. There's an invitation that we learned last week. The Father stands there with His hand open and says, "Won't you come? Won't you receive? Won't you come and breathe in the breath of God? Won't you step into this thing of life and allow the things of the Spirit into the soul?" Whew. I sat and just pondered about this yesterday. My wheels were turning. This is life. This is the living part of it. It's the give and take, back and forth. The Father loving us and He's breathing the breath of life into us. It's us receiving it by faith and it's us returning it and loving Him back. It's the communication. It's the relationship. It's life because there's a relationship between two different systems. This blessed me when I started thinking about it. Those that will walk therein in the breath, the breath being the Word of God, when we will walk therein, it will be Spirit unto us. And it will feed me. And it will nourish for me. And it will provide for me. It will give me absolutely everything that I need. There's the love of the Father. There's the love of the Father who loved us so much that He gave His only Son so that we would be able to enter back into that life again. That eternal life, the salvation of the soul. This isn't just fire insurance. I want to go to heaven at the end of my life. When this physical body dies, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but that's not what this is all about. We can partake of that now. That's the kingdom of God. That's what we'll learn in the building. Everything that's there starts representing it's the kingdom of God on earth. It's the proclamation of it. The message of the tabernacle is saying, enter into this life. Wow. It's the fellowship or the abiding that it talks about in the New Testament. 1 John talks about the fellowship, and I looked up the word fellowship, and it means intimate, it means communion, it means intercourse. It's the giving and the receiving. It's that relationship between us and the Father. The fellowship and the abiding is in that place of rest where I can wake up in the morning and He's right there. And He longs to hear the first words that I speak that morning. Bad mood, good mood, fall out of bed, doesn't matter. He's just pleased that I'll bring it to Him. Somebody's fallen out of bed before. That's why people laugh. Or you ever just wake up and feel like you fell out of bed? Sometimes I wake up and feel like I fell out of bed 4 times in the middle of the night. Knocks on my head to prove it. Sometimes you just wake up. But imagine, he's right there. He's been singing his song over you, and he longs for you to just open your mouth and say, oh, good morning. And he'll let you talk, and he'll let you get it all out, exactly how you're feeling. And he goes, it's this place of intimacy where he functions. It's an abiding, I don't know how to put it into words, what he's been showing me. It's this, when he exhales, I'm inhaling. When I'm exhaling, he's inhaling. It's that back and forth, and there's no skipping a beat. It's not like he goes, hold that breath. Do you see what I mean? It's this total abiding, what's available to us, is this total place of peace and of joy and just absolute to know when I'm exhaling, he's breathing it in. It's that place that I experienced in January when I stood there face to face and I could feel his breath and I knew that his being completely just held me up. And I just stood there in his presence. I didn't want to say anything and he didn't have to. It was this place so close that I could just feel his breath and I knew when I was breathing that he could smell my breath. We were right there. It was so intimate. And we take the word intimate and pervert it. We take the word intercourse and pervert it. We take all these things and relate it to the flesh, and as soon as we do, we defile it, because what he's given to us in the spirit and for the soul is absolutely perfect and beautiful. And if we'll just quit relating it all to the flesh and step into what he's given us, all of the closeness that we have with God, nothing holds you back. Nothing stops it. The absolute perfect work of Christ made sure that nothing will hinder it. Unless you step out of it. Unless you step away from it. Unless we step back into the fear, guilt, shame, and blame. The way it's been made. Nothing stops him. He's right there all the time with the hand extended. Come here. That invitation is always there. I'm right here with you. It's like that picture that Steph described. What God showed her is him standing right behind the surgeons and he's just working it. He's right here right now in the same way. By faith, I know when I move, he's moving with me. When I breathe out, he's breathing in. When he breathes out, I'm breathing in. And it's this constant place where all of a sudden you just go, whew. I sat down at the table with my grandfather when I was in Southern California on Tuesday night. We're sitting down and he's been having health problems and they got the blood pressure machine out there. And everybody's worked up over Jacob having surgery and they're all taking their blood pressure and it's all high. And my uncle looks at me and I stuck my arm out there and he put it on. And I just knew. I'm like, I'm just totally relaxed. And he came back like 109 over 69 or something like that. I mean, it was just like. And my uncle looks at me and he goes, it's broke. And I said, no, it ain't. And he goes, you don't even have any blood pressure. And I said, I got no worries. And it really didn't. And all of a sudden I realized. That's foreign to a lot of people. But it really didn't. I could just sit there and relax. Man, I laughed. I told him, I've had 2 energy drinks, a cup of coffee, 3 sodas, and a whole bag of chips on the way down here. And he's looking at me like, my machine's broke. No, it's not. I got no worries. And the more the week went on, the more I realized why. What a beautiful thing. There's the good news. There's the good news to take to Mongolia, Eddie. There's the good news. Because I know the capital city's full of pollution. They're still functioning on coal. It's one of the most polluted cities in the world. The power is all supplied by coal. The majority of the places where people live on the outskirts of the city are all dirt. It's all dirt. The picture of that city, the capital city, it was amazing. But the beauty of the message is, God the Father breathed the breath of life and he became a living soul. We take the words of life to him. It has nothing to do with their physical body. Once you've heard the words of life and the soul is saved, forget this flesh. What do I care? Take me. I'm good. Knowing that God will provide for everything that I need that I might go forth. Somebody mentioned the Great Commission. When you're talking about going to Mongolia, the Great Commission. It's not about going over there and finding a pool of water to baptize them in. This trip will be everything about immersing them. Kui is going to immerse them in everything she knows the Father to be. Patrick's going to immerse them in everything that he knows the Son to be. And Eddie's going to absolutely immerse them, drown them in everything that he knows the Holy Ghost to be. And the place will be lit up with fire. And the power of God will be expressed in the place. Why? Because they come bringing the words of life into them. And it shall live. And it'll be good. It will be good. That's the great commission. The people that are around you. Immerse them in everything you know the Father to be. Immerse them in everything you know the Son to be. Immerse them in everything you know the Holy Spirit to be. Quit putting the veil up. Don't worry about it. Breathe all over them. Brush your teeth if that's what you're worried about. But get in their face and start speaking the words of life into people. The time is now. The fields are white for the harvest. Whew, man, I didn't expect this to go here today. The message of this tabernacle is a message of life. Well, we're getting ready to enter into and look at this building. It's not just a building. It was a type and shadow that we would be able to see now. But it's living. And that breath of life that comes forth from the holy place can be received in the soul now because the veil's been removed. The veil's been dealt with because of the works of Christ. Everything in the tabernacle from the outer gate all the way through speaks of Christ. The building, when you start looking at the structure, as you approach it, you step forth from the labor. There are five pillars. The things are 15 feet high. 10 cubits. Everything is in cubits. 10 cubits high, 10 cubits wide. The Holy of Holies is 10 by 10 by 10. Number 10 is perfect. It's the law of God and it's perfect. Everything, the numbers in it, the measurements of it, everything's got a message in it. These pillars that are there standing in the front, the height, I think I measured this in here, I think it was 12 and a half feet to the peak of this in here. So another 2.5 feet on top of this peak. That's how high they were. Imagine coming up to this thing and there's these pillars that are 15 feet high. They're gold. They're wood covered with gold. Wood representing earth, gold representing God. Okay, or deity. It's godliness on earth. It's godliness over earth. The cool thing is the foundations of them, everything that touches the earth, those five pillars are bronze. Okay? Bronze representing judgment. It's the last place on the path into the tabernacle that you see touching the earth. It's the last place that you see bronze. It's the last place all the judgment is dealt with. There is no judgment. When you step inside that first veil, there is no judgment the rest of the way in. The boards that made up the wall, there were five pillars across the front. The boards that made up the sides and the back of it. Doesn't say how thick they are. They're 15 feet. They're 10 cubits high. And they were a cubit and a half wide. So about 27 inches. So I'm going to guess and say, is that about 27 inches? Okay. They're about 27 inches wide. And there's 20 of them down one side. There's 20 of them down the other side. And 8 inches. 8 of them across the back. 15 feet high. They're wood overlaid with gold. There again, things of earth covered with the deity of God. The foundations of them, the sockets, were silver. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, everything in the tabernacle, everything of the Spirit, everything of the heavens, everything of God that touches the earth has to go through one or two things. It's bronze or silver. Judgment or cleansing. One or the other. You're either going to face judgment or you'll believe into the cleansing. I don't know about you, but I want the cleansing. I want to know more and more and more about this whole labor thing. I want to understand the cleansing. I want even to what we all need the most is the cleansing of the conscience so that we don't even have a conscience of sin anymore. But we've got to get to that place. So the foundations of those things, the sockets, are all made of silver and there's two for each board. Imagine the size of this thing. Does the wind blow in the desert? How'd this thing stand up? This thing's like a giant sail in the middle of the desert. This thing is designed perfectly. There's nothing about it ever falling. There's nothing even written in there about the outer court, the curtains that held the... Just like that. Now interpret. Come on, by faith, somebody. Oh man, I couldn't get my mouth working right today. The curtains that held around the outer court, they stayed there. This thing was portable. It moved around. This thing is huge. 15 feet high. Gold. Imagine the weight of this thing. Nothing talks about how thick they are, but most people believe that they had to be at least a span thick, which a span would be from there to there, okay, on a man's hand. So about that thick, the wood. And I imagine it had to be about that thick for these things to stand, the sockets, everything, and it had to be able to stand on its own. This thing all put together, you've got walls and this wood overlaid with gold. They've got silver sockets all over around the back. This thing is about 45 feet. It's, let's see, 30 cubits long. 30 cubits, 3 times 10, the Trinity times perfect order. It's the law of God. The messages that keep folding out in this thing. The coverings that we'll be discussing that are over the whole thing. And remember, it's not just a building, it's living. What we learn in this is actually how we're learning how we function. The mind, will, and emotions. How do my mind, will, and emotions serve God? How does God communicate with me in that place? And how do I bring that which is in there out? What's the living and the breathing of this whole thing? How does the whole thing function? It's time the church starts realizing the presence of God is in you, Tony. The living God who spoke everything into existence and created absolutely everything. He chose and He made the way that He might dwell in you. And you're alive in Him. And there's nothing bad about it. It's perfect. Because He's declared you holy because of the works of His Son. He has spoken and He says, you are righteous. And there's been an invitation that Tony has received and God says, step into my holiness. I invite you into my holiness. And Tony has received it. He's left nothing undone. This is the love of a father. How many of you had earthly fathers that failed you? I'm an earthly father and I'll tell you right now, I've failed. I sit in my house sometimes and just go, you did it again. And again. And again. And again. But every time I start feeling like that, God reminds me that He doesn't do that. And then He's never let go of me. He's right there. He's got it. Money? You can't fail. You can't fail. He's got you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day is that even in our shortcomings, God the Father is absolutely pleased. He has declared you righteous. He's declared you holy. He is so pleased with you. You've never failed Him. He's never been sorry about you. Not once. You've never disappointed your Heavenly Father. Man, you need to hear this. You need to hear this, brother. Man, we walk around with the disappointment that we've disappointed men and women. All of us walk around with this guilt of disappointing our fathers. Our Heavenly Father says today that He is not disappointed in any one of you. Nikki, He's not disappointed in you. He's not. He knew every breath that you would take. And He's still breathing life into you. Receive it. Oh. He knew every breath. He's known every breath that we would defile with the curses that would come out of our mouth. Yet He's not disappointed. And He continues to speak life into every one of us. And a loving Father wants us to learn how to take the breath of our mouth and to bless that which is cursed. To speak life into that death. He wants us to receive it. He wants us to breathe it in. He wants us to breathe it out in everything that we do. Everything that is perfect in His relationship with us, when He breathes out and we breathe in, He wants us to turn and He wants us to breathe the same breath of life into one another. the life of God released on earth. I don't know whether to keep going or stop or anything. I just feel God all over this right now.
Do what the Lord wants you to do.
Oh, the Father is pleased with you. There's no disappointment. Okay? None. The tears that flow from His eyes are tears of joy for you. Okay? You haven't made Him cry. You haven't hurt Him. You caused Him extreme joy. And His passion is you. You're a man after His heart. And your efforts and your heart do not go. They're not hidden. And He wants you to know that He is paying attention to you. And He hears the breath that comes out of you, and He hears the cries of your heart. And He loves you. Eddie, every breath you speak when you're in Mongolia is going to be the breath of God on those people. By faith, every breath you exhale, when you come off that plane, every breath you breathe, you're breathing life into that nation. The Lord says, quit holding your breath. Close your eyes. It's okay. And you don't have to hold your breath. Not inhale or exhale. Let it go. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty breath of God, would you blow in this place? I thank you, Lord, that this is the place where the Spirit of God has met the soul of man this day. And we receive it, O God. And it is good. There is life in this place. The Hebrew language, the anger of God, or the wrath of God. When you look at it in the Hebrew, it's the word knows. What it is, it's that indignation when we're frustrated and we breathe out of our nose, that breath of indignation. And that is not the breath that is upon this place today. But God has opened His mouth upon this place, and He has breathed ever so lightly upon us. It's the love of a father who draws close to his child and whispers to him, I love you. Hold your head high, says the Lord, for I am not ashamed of you. and I have left no guilt upon you. There shall be no fear. You are a man of faith, and you will go forward in it. Hold your head high. Lord, I thank you for my brother. I bless him, oh God. I bless him, oh Lord, with a peace that passes all understanding. I bless him, oh God, with joy. Joy unstoppable. Nothing shall hold it in. I thank you, Lord, for the words of life that you have breathed into him, oh God, and he is exhaling into the lives of those around him. I thank you, Lord, for your provision. And Lord, in the workplace, you shall be known as a man of God. And the broken shall turn to him, O God. And they will be healed by the power of God in him. The miraculous shall take place. You shall capture the souls of men through this vessel. Lord says, don't worry. The fire of God comes from your brother, but from you rivers of peace and joy shall flow. Happy Father's Day. Lord, I thank you that you've called us out of death and into life. You called us out of fear and into faith. You called us out of anger and into joy. You called us out of calamity and into peace. Called us out of the flesh and into the spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just feel like the Lord is stirring. A couple of people. Anybody supposed to be sharing anything? I heard Julie laugh, so I figured Bruce had something. Yes, would you please? Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.